about them Cowboys? The Dallas Cowboys are on the clock, and Jerry Jones, very impressive setup for the virtual draft there as the Cowboys owner, president, and GM is there. 9 playoff appearances in 13 seasons, but the pick is in, and we don't have to guess anymore. Let's find out where they go.
With the 17th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys select C.D. Lamb, wide receiver, Oklahoma.
The only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Round 1 of the NFL Draft is coming on for the Cowboys, and man, we definitely didn't see that coming, and neither did Jerry. Welcome into About Them Cowboys here on The Athletic. Kent Garrison here, producing as always, here with our expert panel of Cowboys analysts, Father John Machota, Saad Youssef, and Kevin KT Turner. Guys, let's get right into this. KT, CeeDee Lamb is a Dallas Cowboy. Feels great to say that, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I think it's almost like, man, we spent all these months leading up to the draft trying to do mock drafts and trying to get it all together. And then just every scenario that happens, every year we're reminded of, man, this thing's pretty unpredictable most of the time. I know the first hour of the draft was maybe a little boring. Maybe everyone had a pretty good feel of how things were going last night. Maybe the only, you know, crazy shocker was the Giants taking Andrew Thomas, but everyone kind of knew they were going to go offensive tackle. And then we got to the point, at least for me, guys, there was a point at 13 and 14 when the 49ers made that trade with Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay wanted to get up and make sure that they got Tristan Wirfs, the tackle from Iowa. We were 4 picks away. So you had the 49ers, the Broncos, and the Falcons, and the Cowboys. And this whole time, the name that I was scared of the Cowboys taking was A.J. Terrell. That was just a lot of smoke around his name, the cornerback from Clemson, and I didn't really want anything to do with that. So I looked at it and I said, okay, I don't know how they feel about Javon Kinlaw. I know how I feel about him, very good, but who knows about the medicals? There's Kalyvon Chaisson, who was kind of the guy that they were coveting, we thought. But then there's Jerry Jeudy, the wide receiver, and there's CeeDee Lamb, the wide receiver from Oklahoma. So there's 4 players there with 4 picks. So we don't have to mess around with A.J. Terrell or Trevon Diggs or Christian Fulton or Xavier McKinney. We don't even have to mess with that. Tonight, we're going to get one of those top 17 guys. And that's without the 4th quarterback going in Jordan Love. And they just kind of count it down, Javon Kinlaw. And then Jerry Jeudy goes. So I'm sitting there going, okay, it's Chaisson or Lamb. Their decision's made for them. It's Chaisson or Lamb. And then the Falcons come in and take A.J. Terrell. Okay, now you have the option of Chaisson or Lamb. You actually have to make a choice now. And I got to tell you, I did not think they were going to do this. I thought they were going to stick to their need, as they've done over the last few years. I was imploring them on I was on the draft show broadcast on the Cowboys website, and I was just imploring them because this is what you do. You take CeeDee Lamb. He's a much higher graded player. You have to do it. You have to do it. And I just didn't think in my wildest dreams that they would end up actually doing that. I thought they would go back to kind of maybe the Cowboy way and take the position at need, take the edge rusher. I thought they would take Chaisson, and I was pleasantly surprised that they went ahead and took CeeDee Lamb because he is a game changer. We'll start with you, John, kind of your thoughts on how everything went down and your thoughts on the pick in general.
Oh, I mean, when they took CeeDee Lamb, I was Clark Griswold when he tells Eddie, he goes, if I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now. I was stunned because I agree with everything you just said. I just thought that while he was the best player on their board, we come to find out later on that he was actually the number 6 player on their board. I was like, yeah, of course, but that happens in previous drafts too. And wide receiver was a need. I mean, with Randall Cobb being gone, but I just, with it being so deep in this particular draft class, I was like, they'll take care of that in like the 3rd or 4th round. But to see CeeDee Lamb be there and them to pull the trigger over Chaisson was stunning to me. And I think Chaisson's going to be a good NFL player. I mean, man, that Jaguars haul of getting him and CJ Henderson, I think it's going to be fun to see what those guys end up doing. But I think the thing that stood out to me on the conference call after with Mike McCarthy is when he pointed out how, you know, when you add another playmaker like that, it impacts the entire offense and that it opens up other things for other guys. And so, you know, I know a lot of people are thinking, okay, so how is he going to fit in and things like that? Well, you know, you have a new head coach who's offensive minded, and you have obviously some changes on the offense. Like, don't think that it's going to look the exact same as it did last year, even though there are, you know, still Kellen Moore and Dak and you know, Zeke and Amari and Michael Gallup. Like, just adding a dynamic player like this that can do so many different things, it just, it's crazy to think what this offense could be. And I'm sure we're going to be talking plenty about how, well, you better start doing something about the defense, because you're not just going to be able to outscore people every week and make a good run and make the playoffs and make, you know, noise in a playoff run unless they have a defense that's at least adequate. So I know we'll get into all of that, but yeah, I just, so surprising because of just, I just thought for sure that this was going to be a defensive pick. And if Chaseon was there, it didn't matter who else was there, that they were going to take, you know, Kalevon. And the other thing I'll mention about CeeDee Lamb too is, it's just amazing with him with the ball in his hands, just how he makes guys miss. And man, you see some of those highlights from him just torching some of these Big 12 secondaries. It's crazy to think if he does it on Sundays and they have a potential DeAndre Hopkins on their hands, man, that's going to be fun to watch.
Saad, your thoughts on kind of how things went down?
Well, I think, you know, I was pretty heavy on the Chaseon train. I really liked, you know, what he brings and just who he is as a football player. But at the same time, I totally understand the draft pick from the Cowboys standpoint. I'm actually happy with the way they did that, because a lot of my complaints with the Cowboys front office in general is just their lack of conviction sometimes in their own process and their own scouting, what it seems like, because they'll scout this guy, he'll be high on their board, and then all of a sudden they won't take him. And so, you know, I've always said, like, some people would say that, you know, they'd be upset if the Cowboys traded up to go get a guy. And I was always on the side of, look, if that means that you feel that good about your guy, then you got to go get him, like, no matter what. And so the fact that they didn't even have to trade up and he just fell into their lap, you know, I said this before, there's a lot of reasons to like this pick. And you know, there's more than just the three. But I think more than anything, look, it feels a need. As John said, there was a need left by Randall Cobb. And if you want to predate that, you know, Cole Beasley and all that stuff. But then also, Amari Cooper has proven as good of a route runner and as good of a player he is, he's proven that, you know, he tends to get hurt. And you know, whether it's him missing games like the Jets game last year, or maybe he was hurt down the stretch and that's why his production fell off in the latter parts of the season. Whatever it is, you need someone that can adequately step up. And in both of those cases, which is, you know, whether CeeDee Lamb is the number three wide receiver with the void that's left, or if he bumps up and has to become a number one / number two with Gallup, because Cooper gets hurt. Either way, you know, it's going to be important for them to have that weapon to go score 40 when the defense allows 39.
And look, it's to take a generic cliche, it is a passing league, and you need to start building for it. This is a team that's kind of drafted like the league is a running league. And I don't mean that in a way to, like, take a shot at it or anything, but you kind of look at what they've done building the offensive line, taking Zeke at number four. A lot of their selections, you know, I know they drafted some corners and things like that, but they've had a lot of inside interior defender type selections, or defensive linemen that they've tried to take some shots on over the last few years. And you draft every position when it all comes down to it. But this is where my issue with last night, my concern was that they were going to go, well, the depth of the draft at wide receiver, we can get one of those. We really have to approach the defense. Hey, I agree. And look, we can talk about the defense on our next podcast, because they're going to draft some defensive players in round two and three and on day three. They're going to attack the defense. To me, though, I have a hard time just going, well, the depth of the draft is so good. Well, the depth of the draft is not so good that you walk away from CeeDee Lamb. You know, you sit there and you draft CeeDee Lamb every time. Jerry, as you mentioned last night, was the number six player on their board. You know, one thing that I would say is, like, I was running this conversation with talking to Dane Brugler and then Dave Hellman last night. And we were all just kind of bouncing around the ideas of like, hey, what do you do here? And if it's Chaseon and that's the guy they like, and we were all just kind of thinking the mindset of they're probably going to take Chaseon just because they haven't shown that, like, it just didn't feel like they would go offense, but it just never felt like CeeDee Lamb would be there for them. And this team, to me, needs two wide receivers in this draft, and I can't make the argument enough. Now Cedric Wilson is not your third wide receiver anymore. That is such a plus. This thing has changed big time because of CeeDee Lamb. And I didn't think they'd get someone at 17 that would change things big time, but this guy does it. And, I mean, dude, you could talk about what who he's compared to, and you could talk about, you know, his college production. But, man, I just can't stop thinking about, let's get this contract done with Dak. Let's stop messing around with that. You know, try to get that thing done, you know, by the time we get back to normal and if there is a training camp and all that stuff, because this team with their offensive weapons is now primed to blow out what they did last year when they were, you know, top five offense in the league. They're primed to blow that out of the water. The potential here is endless, and you add in a little more of aggressive head coach in Mike McCarthy. I just feel like we're talking about a team here that's very, very dangerous. Compare what they did to what the Eagles did last night, and you sit here and go, holy cow, did we just win the division last night? Because that's a really exciting pick, man. Am I going too far, guys?
No, not at all. I'm still surprised. We're not even 24 hours removed, and I'm still stunned about it. I will say this, though. If, let's say, he had gone to, I don't think he would have went to the Falcons, but let's say a team trades up, you know, and takes CeeDee Lamb at 16, and the Cowboys are left with Kalyvon Chaseon at 17. Like, I think most people are still, you know, pretty happy about that pick. Would you guys agree?
Yes.
Yes.
And so that's why I'm saying, like, they were,
John,
in such a great...
What if it had been Chaseon had been taken by the Falcons there, and you were left with Terrell? You think they might have gone there, KT? You heard a lot Myrtle. About...
But you're saying over CeeDee Lamb, though? Or if that just Terrell was the best player there.
If Terrell was the best player on their board, I don't know where they had them slotted.
Yeah, okay, so if you're giving me that scenario and there's no CeeDee Lamb, then I think there's a decent chance they take Terrell there. But, hey, I mean, Jerry said it for the draft. They had three different offers on the board to move back, and they were in talks about potentially doing that. But as CeeDee Lamb kept falling, you know, their talks kind of died down because they were like, well, we're not moving out of there if this is here. So if you take him off the board, you take Chaseon off the board, I think Terrell's the pick if they stay at 17. But I only put that at 50-50 that they even stay at 17. I think they possibly would have moved back because while they liked Terrell, I don't know that they just liked him so much more than some of the other options that you could have received on top of also receiving some other picks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also real quick, KT, you know, to answer your question, if you're too excited, I don't think so at all, because one thing that, you know, we all I think have some time to get used to is that this is no longer a Jason Garrett regime. And, you know, a lot of times in the past, we've seen them acquire players, whether, you know, to a much lesser degree than CeeDee Lamb, but I'm talking about guys like Tavon Austin or Tony Pollard and you know, those kind of weapons. And we're like, okay, how are you going to fit them in? How are you going to utilize them? Because you don't have a history of doing that. Well, that's gone now. Like, that, you know, there are teams in the past, whether you look at, you know, and look, I'm not predicting, like, you know, they're going to set some scoring title record or anything like that. But my point is like, you know, whether you look at those Broncos teams or those Patriots teams and things like that, it is very possible to have a plethora of weapons and get the best out of all of them if you have the right coaching in place. And that's all changed this offseason. This is no longer the Jason Garrett era. And so, you know, there is a chance that everything does kind of, you know, shift to a way where all these different weapons, and I'm talking about not just the three receivers, but then you throw in Zeke, who, by the way, is still the focal point as far as the money and all that goes. Blake Jarwin just signed a big deal. Tony Pollard is still there. That's six weapons, and I feel confident that they'll be able to mix all of them in to some degree.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I was thinking about, too, I can say this. I know I cover the Cowboys as a Packer fan, too, and they have failed to every year add skill position players. And think about what they did last night, not helping Aaron Rodgers out, looking at the future. And I was sitting there going, man, Cowboys fans are pretty lucky. They at least have a team that's willing to go draft skill position players to put around their team. I mean, the Packers haven't – I mean, they went 15 years without drafting a skill position player, and it was just another quarterback again. So, I mean, like, that CeeDee Lamb pick was huge, and it was fun to kind of rub it in Philadelphia's face a little bit as well. Let's see what Stephen Jones had to say about the selection.
You know, we went through a lot of mock drafts, and I can tell you he wasn't a part of any of them just because we felt like, you know, he was a top 10 player in this draft and we'd never see him. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, always a challenge not to feel a little stress on what you need. But, you know, at the end of the day, we got really good, smart people in the room, and they were, very convincing. And I think, you know, Jerry heard everybody out, and, you know, the right thing to do is always pick the best football player. And that's what we did today.
Absolutely.
That's no brainer. That seems right? Like a change of philosophy. I mean, the right thing to do is to pick the best football player, because they haven't done that consistently over the past few years is what they have. You know, they said even last year that Connor McGovern was above where Tristan Hill was on their board, and they took Tristan Hill because they needed that player. You know, I ended up getting McGovern, so it ended up working out, but it, to Saad's point, it does seem like a change of philosophy is starting to take shape here under the Mike McCarthy.
Let me throw in one thing real quick here too. I wonder if drafting the way they are this year because of the coronavirus, not being able to be around each other, having to be in separate areas. I wonder if maybe the organization of that and maybe just the preparation of knowing, hey, like if this happens, we have to do this. We're not going to have as much room for discussion. Like if this happens, we do this and just really focused in on potential scenarios. Not to say they haven't done that before, but maybe more so in this case. And again, we're only through one round. I mean, who knows what happens for the rest of this draft, but heck, there's a lot of people that are probably thinking, man, that was an easy pick for them. Who wouldn't have passed on that? But I wonder what the impact of that is. And I can't wait to, you know, kind of see as this draft goes on, if does that make things more streamlined? Would it make it more organized instead of having, you know, because the Cowboys are one of those teams. I mean, you guys see it in those draft cams. They have a ton of people in that room, and that's not every NFL team is like that. There's definitely NFL teams that they'll just be really the head coach, the GM, and like the owner, and the scouts and the other coaches are in other rooms, and then they kind of call them in from, you know, time to time and things like that. But like, I don't know, maybe this was in play too, and it helped out a little bit that, you know, everyone was in different areas and they had to be, you know, kind of on the screws because there wasn't an opportunity to mess this up because, you know, they prepped for everything. The reason why I thought of that is, like I said, because Jerry said there were three different trade offers on the table. So you put that in the mix on top of, you know, a defensive coach saying, hey, we really need Kalyvon Chaisson, and then some offensive coaches arguing, it doesn't matter. He's not on the same level as this guy. And they're going back and forth. And then someone else is talking about a trade in that. You know, maybe they deserve credit for just being really organized in this process.
I do like your theory about kind of eliminate the number of people, and then maybe things that I would equate it to, you know, maybe if I don't have the Oreos in the cabinet, then maybe I won't feel like I need to go eat them. You know,
yeah, it's like
so I can focus in on the diet here.
All you have to go by is your board at that point. You know,
yeah,
it's like that's your main. That's what you trust. Instead of listening to ex scout in the room, it's like you've got your board and that's pretty much all we got. Let's draft this thing. You know, it's like doing a fantasy draft or something.
Now, do y'all want to talk about kind of what's left over? Because we do need to transition to – oh, yeah, no, let's hear what Jerry has to say, too.
Jerry on his yacht, by the way, which I thought was an incredible flex to have broadband internet on a yacht. But here we go.
This method of preparing for this draft and evaluating these players, there's going to be a lot we've learned from doing it under these types of circumstances that I think will carry over for the long haul and evaluating and making decisions with players. Having said that, this is a classic case. We had him as our sixth pick on the board. We had known from a lot of discussions with Mike that he really thought with this draft class of receivers that we ought to come out of here with an outstanding player that we could use certainly as our second receiver in the wire outside, but had a lot of flexibility going at all positions. We never thought one that of Lamb's caliber would be there. And, of course, we had been going over with our rehearsals. We'd been going over Chisholm and his availability. We had looked at corners. We had looked at this, other positions that were maybe more that we probably do need to pay attention to. But we've got a lot of draft left. But at the end of the day, Lamb made the decision. He was good enough to take our pick above other guys we could have picked and felt very good about.
Just one quick thing there. When talking about, we looked at Chisholm. I love that he says Chisholm. We looked at corner. We looked at sit. Other positions of need, you know, like he was going to say safety, but didn't. It was like that Tommy Boy scene where he's like, you can put six packs of soda in here. You know? And like he's clearly saying, okay, we're going to get a safety in this. I mean, he's just basically showing his hand to the other teams. Like if they want a safety, they're going to have to jump the Cowboys if there's one on the board.
Hey, well, if we're sticking with jokes, let me just tell you, during that 38, 40 minutes, whatever it was during that conference call, all I kept thinking about is, what if one of the backdrops fell and Jerry and Steven and Mike McCarthy were all actually in the same room?
God,
the
background falls,
and it's like this big mistake, like somebody accidentally walks in on, oh wait, we're not supposed to be all in the same room, and then like another thing falls down and it's like all the scouts are there. And I don't know, Jerry said after the draft last night that that like there was gonna be significant fines if they found out that people were drafting, you know, multiple members of organizations. Or he said that you could potentially lose draft picks if there was any way to prove that you were at the facility that day. Like, they weren't even allowed to go near the facility. Like, I live close to the facility, so I went up there yesterday, a few hours before the draft. And I mean, it was just a ghost town. I mean, there were no cars in the parking lot, anything like that. So, not that I was really looking for Jerry Jones or anybody like that. But it was interesting that he mentioned that the NFL had talked about, like, taking picks away from teams, and the penalties were going to be really harsh if they didn't. But, man, one of those backdrops would have fell, and it turned out they were all in the same room. Yeah, it would hurt their drafting. They probably would lose some picks, but man, that would have been hilarious.
You know, another thing too that's kind of interesting is that everything that happened last night watching the draft, I was expecting a lot of failures. I actually thought the draft was handled pretty well. Like, we'll see how day 2 and day 3 go, but I almost kind of prefer it. It's kind of fun to go see the inside of all these guys' houses. Oh, there's Cliff Kingsbury's house. Oh, what a sweet house. And then here's what Belichick's just kind of got a normal table. It was real fun to kind of look in and see, like, Jerry on brand, you know, on the yacht. Perfect. You know, I thought it was actually kind of fun the way it was done last night.
Yeah, I like the way it was done. But also Goodell, like his setup and I, you know, whatever basement he was in or whatever. And I also really got a kick out of just like, you know, the draft card that he had. And he would look at the draft card like 60 times. You know, while announcing a pick, like as if, you know, he really needed to read the script or whatever. And it was entertaining just to see all that.
Let's get the clip from Mike McCarthy as well, Kent.
I think it's important, and this is a great example of it, is to just stay true to the board. I think the staff has done an incredible job putting this board together and just, you know, having a discipline to keep drafting the best player. So, and with that, as far as the focus on defense versus offense, we'll just let that work itself out. And we all understand the positions that we want to hit, but I think the board's going to, I feel really good. The board's going to lay out nicely for us.
When, you know, that begs the question, KT, of what does their board look like? You know, you would think it would be pretty mid heavy on receivers, you know, and you know, if they did want to get a quality player at either edge rusher or cornerback, then they would need to do it there, because their board would probably dictate that you can't really get the same quality later in this draft as you could at receiver.
And that's just kind of where they've gotten into trouble though over the last few years, by road mapping it out so far and on whatever sliding scale you have, weighing the roadmap more than just weighing what's on your board, taking the best player. And you can get in trouble. It's okay to roadmap it a little bit, but how much consideration you put into that pick can't override what's on the board. You know, CeeDee Lamb falls to you at 17. That's a no-brainer. I'm interested to what their thoughts would have been if it was, let's say, Denver takes CeeDee Lamb at 15. You know, would they have taken Jerry Jeudy there? I don't know. I'd be interested to find out. That'd be fun, a fun topic. But
let's try to figure out their top five. So it's probably Burrow, Chase Young, probably Okuda, right?
Probably Simmons. And then probably I would say Derek Brown would be most likely.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
None of those tackles, offensive tackles?
Maybe one of the tackles. Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine that CeeDee Lamb was their number one receiver on their board. It feels like a Randy Moss situation in a way. You just can't pass up on a talent like this that only comes around ever so often. And Jerry learned his lesson the hard way, of course, but that's what it felt like. Jerry said it best. CeeDee Lamb made the pick last night.
Yeah, my analogy last night was, it's not every day that you take your dog out for a walk and you find a $20 bill. And that's what this was. Like, this doesn't happen every year. You know, the guy you want, or not necessarily even the guy you want, someone you doesn't expect falls into your lap. It doesn't happen every year. And it just happened to happen last night for a myriad of reasons. One reason, hey, I mean, look, if you want to thank Tampa Bay for getting Tom Brady, making them want to go get an offensive tackle and move up, you know, it's the difference in one or two picks, you know, that kind of allowed this to happen. But yeah, Atlanta the whole time kind of had their eyes set on A.J. Terrell, and that's what kind of upped the intrigue a little bit, was that Chaisson and Lamb were on the board. The guy they wanted versus the guy you can't turn down. It's almost, yeah, you know, I had an analogy, but I don't want to go too far. I think it would derail things, so I don't want to do that.
Hey, real quick, let me just throw in a scenario that if both of those players would have went right before the Cowboys went on the clock, and let's say they ended up with A.J. Terrell, oh my God, the people bringing back up that Week 17 win last year, and how that, you know, winning that meaningless game against Washington, which secured Washington and getting Chase Young, and then on top of it, it moves you back a few spots where, you know, if they had lost that meaningless game, because obviously, you know, the Eagles had already won and the division was wrapped up, you know, they could have been drafted in the top 15, would have definitely got one of those guys. But now CeeDee Lamb falls to you.
Yeah, they would have been number 13.
Yeah, everyone's happy now, so it works out. But man, there would have been that would have been bringing up that Washington game if they would have got Terrell.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let me try this analogy and then we'll move on. Okay, I'm just gonna try it. It's almost like, so maybe you've had a crush on this person, and we'll make sure that we're make this, you know, gender fluid here. You have a crush on a person, and but they're dating someone, but all of a sudden they're available, and you were kind of surprised that they're available. But at the last minute, some Hollywood celebrity shows up and she's even available for you as well, or he. It just edited out. Like, I mean, I like you, but how can I turn down Jessica Alba? Like, how? I can't.
That's a throwback, KT. Jessica Alba.
I was trying to say, you know, the one last night.
Oh, man, I don't know. That's still tough because you might want to go with a little bit safer pick, because then you also got to worry about, are you really going to be able to keep Jessica Alba? Like, how long are you going to... You know, I mean, Pete Davidson thought that him and Ariana Grande were going to last forever, you know, and that was clearly his dream girl. Like, I don't know, man, when you get in that Hollywood level, though, you're dealing with a lot of competition there. You might want to take the safe pick and go with your girl that you know. I'm just saying, you might want to think this one over.
I think this is what KT was talking about, going off the track too much, right?
I mean,
see, I told you guys it was a risky analogy. You want to stick to the Oreos
want a lifetime? You want a lifetime or a full career in the NFL with somebody that you really like and you know is going to be there for you? Or do you want to take the possibility that Jessica Alba is going to leave you in a month?
You just want to get to that second contract.
Okay, wait, but real quick, KT, I'm going to bring this back on track for a quick second before we move on to the today's stuff and everything like that. I know this is way ahead of the curve right now because we've still got two more years, but you know, when you look at just like the contract you gave Cooper, the contract that you're going to give Dak, and then when Gallup in 2022 comes up, and if he's still, you know, producing the way he did last year for the next 2 years. I mean, your window is the next 2 years anyways to win a Super Bowl. You're in a win now situation. But also, like, you know, it took Gallup a couple years to really, or it took him at least a year to hit his stride. It, like, you know, at that point, you feel a lot less mandated to, you know, throw big money at Gallup if you do have CeeDee Lamb kind of there to take over, right? And that's a guy, CeeDee Lamb, that you'll have a fifth-year option on as well.
If CeeDee Lamb ends up, yeah, if CeeDee Lamb ends up, you know, meeting expectations, people are going to not even worry about re-signing Michael Gallup.
Right.
It's kind of what we've been talking about. At some point, you can't pay every single person that's up, and that's why Byron's not here, and that's why Robert Quinn's not here, and that's just the beginning of that, and it's just going to continue to be that way, and that's how it is for every team that has really good players, especially after they sign their quarterback. So, you know, maybe Gallup in the end, if he wanted to be a Cowboy his whole life, maybe he's the loser through all of this. But still, a lot can happen. And technically, after 3 years, you can get out of that Amari Cooper contract at a reasonable rate if it happened to be a burden on you. The idea is that it's not, but potentially it is. And I also want to say this, just an observation. You know, we're talking about kind of seeing inside people's houses and stuff. Apparently, Kalyvon Chaisson was dying to be a Dallas Cowboy. He was dead set about being a Dallas Cowboy. And I don't know if y'all saw him when he got picked at 20 by Jacksonville. I don't know if y'all saw the inside of his house. That was the most somber first-round selection I've ever seen. He did not look like a guy whose spirits were high about having to go to Jacksonville.
Did Tua's family look real happy about him going to Miami?
Tua, they didn't have a lot going on there. That was a strange thing, too.
So another observation from last night, a lot of people like live in log cabins, apparently.
Yeah.
A lot of wood.
There was so much wood last night.
Also about last night, CeeDee Lamb, I mean, the phone, I know he came on Twitter and said it wasn't really like that, but it sure looked like that. I don't know.
He's getting some text from some side pieces, like, congrats, see you in Dallas.
It wasn't just her. It was his mom in the picture, either an older sister or an aunt. Because they were looking over, too, kind of giving the side eye through all of that, if you zoom in on those pictures. But I think that's where you got a good look at some of CeeDee Lamb's traits. Good awareness, good instincts, quickness right there to recover the phone. I mean, there's a reason the guy's a first rounder. He was able to get that phone back really quick.
Also, CeeDee's going to wear number 10 for the Cowboys. So, you know, recently we've seen Tavon Austin and Ryan Switzer wear that number. And maybe we'll get some production out of the number 10 finally, because it's such a great number to wear.
Jerry's trying to give him number 88.
Is he?
Yeah. Jerry said that he had a – did you see this, John?
Yeah, he said it on the conference call.
So he had a friend at Arkansas who wore number 88 who just died recently, and he thought it would be a great tribute for CeeDee Lamb to wear number 88.
Because of an Arkansas friend and not because of...
Well, he added that in there after that. Okay. And also would follow in the tradition of top receivers like Michael Irvin, Dez Bryant, Drew Pearson wearing 88.
Antonio Bryant.
That's putting the expectation way too high on him, though, immediately. I mean, honestly.
Man. Well, hold up. I didn't want to go down this
path.
Clear
number one when you drafted him.
Yeah, but I don't think we need to go too far down to this. And I'm not trying to do this on purpose, but CeeDee Lamb coming out of Oklahoma this year is a better prospect than Dez Bryant coming out of Oklahoma State.
How
much of that has to do with CeeDee Lamb playing with three Heisman caliber quarterbacks too at the same time? I mean, I'm not saying he's not
sure, and he might not have Dez Bryant's career, but I'm just saying that they gave it to Dez Bryant right out of college too, and I mean, there's no guarantee. That's a lot of pressure on a guy too, but. So,
well, like I said, Dez Bryant was your number one guy. When you drafted Dez, he was the immediate go-to guy. He was the 88. Now,
how do you know that CeeDee Lamb won't be that for them?
I mean, eventually, I don't think the plan is for him to be your number one guy immediately.
I feel like the way, I'm not saying it is either, but the way the offenses are changing the NFL, and I think it's going to be pretty college-friendly going forward. I think he could make an immediate impact where he could be their leading receiver his first year.
I think so, too. I think he has that potential. Maybe he switches to 88 next year after he is the guy.
So let's look at the board real quick. These are just names I'm going to lob out there. Guys who are still on the board, and I won't mention any of the wide receivers because there's no reason to do that now. AJ Epenesa, edge rusher from Iowa. I think he'll go pretty quickly today. But, you know, one thing I will throw out there, the Cowboys pick at pick 51 and they pick at pick 82. And the compensation to kind of do the DeMarcus Lawrence type trade to get up to the top of the second round would be, you know, giving up both of those picks, 51 and 82, could get you up towards the top of the second round. So if they wanted to be players at the high end in round two tonight, it would cost you your third. So there's AJ Epenesa, Christian Fulton, cornerback of LSU, but Trevon Diggs is available as well, the cornerback from Alabama, and I feel like they have Diggs graded higher than Fulton. Jalen Johnson, the cornerback from Utah, he's got some shoulder questions. A lot of offensive tackles, but I don't think we need to mention them. Antoine Winfield, safety. Grant Delpit, safety. Xavier McKinney, safety. All available. Yetur Gross-Matos, the edge rusher. You know, I want to throw out, you know, names like Cameron Dantzler as a cornerback, Jeremy Chinn, a safety, defensive lineman, Marlon Davidson, Jordan Elliott, Neville Gallimore, Ross Blacklock, Justin Matabike. Look, the point is there's a lot of players. Curtis Weaver's the edge rusher from Boise State. There's a lot of good players, and we've talked about a lot of this in our buildup. And there's still room for teams to come in and take some running backs and take some wide receivers as well to take some positions you might not want. So I think you could sit there at 51 and get a, I don't know, I don't want to say starting impact player because that just kind of depends on the situation, but an impact player that you feel good about for the future at 51, I'm pretty comfortable they can score something in the second round.
So I pulled out a piece of paper here while you were saying that and wrote down, I came up with six names. If they were able to get one of these six out of the players you named, I think that they would have to be thrilled. And that's Trevon Diggs, Xavier McKinney, Yetur Gross-Matos, Zach Braun, AJ Epenesa, or Grant Delpit. I think Delpit would be the most likely to fall that far, I think there's a decent chance all six of these guys are gone, but I think if they got one of those six, they'd be pretty happy.
Yeah. We saw this with safety last year. I'm sorry, go ahead, Saad.
Well, I was just going to say, Dane Brugler put out his Friday mock draft like an hour ago on The Athletic. So you can check that out on the website. And the guy he has going to the Cowboys at 51 is Trevon Diggs. And at number 50 is Curtis Weaver. Right before that is Zach Bond. And right before that is Jalen Johnson. Right before that is Marlon Davidson. So a lot of these guys that you just named off, KT, he has those. All those guys, Antoine Winfield is like two picks before that. Xavier McKinney is right before that. And so, you know, it's going to be an interesting cluster from 43 to 51, you know, because a lot of those guys that you just named are the guys that he has in those area. And he has Trevon Diggs ending up going to the Cowboys at 51. But then at 53 is Grant Delpit. So Delpit is there as well. It's just going to be a very interesting situation as to, you know, who goes where. And I agree with you. It all depends on what position you get as far as the impact, because Curtis Weaver, he's not, no matter what edge rusher you get, he's not going to be the alpha on that defensive line because DeMarcus Lawrence is there. But if you get Trevon Diggs in the corner, there's a chance that Trevon Diggs can end up being your number one corner, at least as in terms of how good he is, because the position is so thin. So just an interesting thing to see.
Yeah, no, a lot of names. And I think that's another reason. Again, we've talked about asset allocation on this team and watching the salary cap. Getting some minimum wage players is going to be important for them, young minimum wage players. So, you know, to me, I don't have a ton of interest in getting excited and going up to the top of the second round and making a trade. But, you know, maybe you get down there a little closer and the compensation is less than a third rounder. If the compensation turns into one of your fifth round picks, you know, then maybe that's where I would kind of consider. And let me actually, I think that could get you up a few spots, you know, at least if you needed to jump and get ahead of someone because you're in love with someone on your board. I'm thinking like the Cowboys fifth round pick. They have two of them, but their first one is, sorry, guys, I'm doing this on the fly here. Remember they have two picks in the fifth round? Yeah, 164, there it is. If you added that right there, that could probably get you into the range of, you know, 46. You know, maybe you could jump up 5, 4, 3 spots, you know, if by lumping in one of your fifth round picks, if you wanted to do that, if you wanted to get a little antsy. So, but I do think that they'll find something they like there. I like, you know, last year, all those safeties, just Taylor Rapp, and you remember Juan Thornhill was on the board, and Nasir Adderley, same thing could happen tonight. Safeties just falling and falling and falling. And I've always thought that the most fun part of the draft is night two. I know that sounds crazy, but like night one, there is a lot of knowns in the first, you know, 10 picks. I really think night two is a lot of fun because there's a little bit more movement. And there's also that whole game where you got a few guys that you like, and John will just use that list of guys that you named out. You get some guys that you like, and then you start marking out names. And, oh, can he make it here? And then you get to 42, and then you get to pick 47. And then you're going, okay, we got a couple names left. You know, it becomes kind of fun and kind of tense to watch live. So looking forward to see what they do tonight. Do you guys have any closing thoughts? I would like to hear those if you have them.
I do. I was going to say that, you know, watching CeeDee Lamb is going to be interesting over these next few years because, at least for me, I'm going to think back to if he ends up being the player that I think he's going to be and becoming one of the better receivers in the league over the next few years, I'm just going to think back to how he could have potentially ended up with the Eagles and how that could have really been a thorn in the Cowboys side, looking at a draft where they could potentially be, you know, have one rival get Chase Young and the other one get CeeDee Lamb and have to deal with them for the foreseeable future. Because, you know, I think the Eagles would have potentially moved up if CeeDee Lamb was still there after the Cowboys, because Jerry mentioned an interesting thing last night, and that's that he doesn't have any way of proving this because nobody would really know for sure, but he believes that CeeDee Lamb fell to them partly because teams that were drafting behind them, you know, kind of took Dallas out of the equation and were like, well, the Cowboys aren't going to take a wide receiver there. They have so many other needs on defense. And so that kind of helped them out, where people probably that were looking to trade up, because obviously several receivers went right after him, maybe they kind of wrote the Cowboys off like that because they didn't think that they would take a wide receiver. And so I'm just saying it'll be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out going forward if he ends up being the star player that I think he can be.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for me, I said this before, like for me, Chaseon was my guy, but I've definitely came around really quickly to the whole CeeDee Lamb idea because, you know, it is also one of those things where getting over the fact that Jason Garrett is still not the head coach and knowing that, you know, CeeDee Lamb will be utilized. I'm excited as hell about this pick. And also another thing, KT, just to throw out there before we head out, the other guy that Dane Brugler has the Cowboys taking at 82 because he has his mock draft out is Terrell Burgess, the safety out of Utah. And yeah, if we go through the first 2 days and you have CeeDee Lamb, Trevon Diggs, and Terrell Burgess, I mean, I don't know that, you know, you could really have a much better first 2 days than that if you're the Dallas Cowboys. That's a really good haul.
I agree with you, and I'm not opening up a can of worms as we get close to the exit. But
no, go ahead, open it up.
I do think the economy of the NFL is going to be compromised a little bit based on COVID-19. I think it's going to be real hard for a guy like Jadeveon Clowney to go get a 5-year, $100 million contract. Hey, Jadeveon, 1 year, $15 million. We'll guarantee most of it even. Come play defensive end for the Dallas Cowboys next year. How you feeling? That, to me, is how you address the defensive end situation, because I am nervous. Alden Smith, to me, a lot of people are just throwing his name out there like he's on the team. Like, dude, he's going to have to go compete to be on the team, and he's closer to 300 pounds now than he is edge rusher weight, if we're being honest. Tyrone Crawford's hip, a lot going on there. Randy Gregory, always a lot going on there. They have to get some defensive end help. I'd give Mr. Clowney a call on a 1-year deal, reset your value, and then sign a long-term deal when maybe the economy of the league might go have a little uptick next year. We'll, you know, based on whatever happens this year. It'd be hard for him to get the money he wants this year.
Yeah, that's a great point. And every day that goes by that he doesn't sign with the team, whoever he signs with, whether it's Seattle or whoever, if it's Dallas, it does make sense to sign a 1-year deal, a prove it type deal, kind of almost like the way Robert Quinn went into last year. Obviously, that paid off big for him in free agency this year. And so, yeah, that's a possibility. But I'll say this, if they come out of this draft and they don't really address pass rusher, I feel pretty strongly that there'll be a move made, whether, you know, somehow via a trade or signing somebody in free agency that's still out there. I don't see them going into the 2020 season, depending on Randy Gregory and Alden Smith to be starters or being significant contributors. A move will be made.
I agree. And they know what's going on with their depth chart at that position. So that's where things, I think, will get interesting to see how it turns out tonight. And then, of course, Saturday as well. Kent, do you have any closing remarks? And also, what is the schedule for our next episode of About Them Cowboys?
Yeah, I'm wondering if they draft a quarterback late in this draft. So I'm going to have my eye on that. And if you guys want, man, we can come back tomorrow morning and talk rounds 2 and 3 and kind of look to day 3 and see where we're at. But I anticipate a really exciting day 2 for the Cowboys here, and a lot of positions of need. Don't know which direction they're going to go, but I imagine they're going to come out with a DB at least, maybe a defensive lineman. I wouldn't count on them picking another receiver, but if they did, man, there's a lot of receivers still on the board that can make an impact. So it's going to be exciting either way.
Yeah, and I think that's I'm happy. You know, it's up to that. I don't want to force anyone to come on tomorrow morning if they don't want to, but I'm happy to. I'm just going to be at home probably nursing a hangover as I just sit down and watch the draft. I don't have broadcasting duties tonight for the first time in a long time on the draft. So I'm just going to sit on the couch and watch the draft like the old days.
We'll definitely come back tomorrow because I know you're going to have thoughts that you haven't gotten out there in the open.
You're so right.
We'll do that, and then we'll come back on Sunday and do a full draft recap, rounds 4 through 7, and then look back at the entire haul and put a bow on this Cowboys draft before next week. So stay tuned to this feed throughout the weekend.
Sounds like a plan. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Keep following along with The Athletic, tracking obviously the best draft expert in the nation, Dane Brugler, as well. Just put his mock draft out, as Saad mentioned. John's got work up as well, as Saad always does too. And Kent Garrison's producing pretty much all the podcast. He is the podcast man around here. For our producer, Kent Garrison, for Saad Youssef, for Father John Mashoda, I'm Kevin KT Turner. We'll talk to you tomorrow and see what the Cowboys did in rounds 2 and 3 and get you ready for day 3. That's the next episode of About Them Cowboys.